Welcome to the Nitvis Pad method in Ableton Live 12. If you produce jungle, old school DNB, rollers, or darker halftime adjacent stuff, this is one of those workflows that can seriously speed up your whole track building process. The idea is simple. Instead of spending ages trying to make one perfect lush pad sound, you build a moving atmospheric layer first, automate it early, and let it help shape the arrangement. Think of it like night fog moving behind the drums and bass. It's not supposed to be the main character. It's there to make the whole tune feel deeper, moodier, and more alive. In this lesson, we're going to build a dark, evolving pad that can work in an intro, a breakdown, or as a tension layer before a drop. And the big mindset shift here is this: movement before perfection. That's the whole game. So, first things first, create a MIDI track and load a stock instrument like Waveeatable, Analog, or Operator. Waveeatable is a great choice for this, because it gives you movement really fast without needing a huge effects chain right away. Start with a simple patch. Use a saw or triangle on oscillator 1, maybe a second saw slightly detuned on oscillator 2, and keep the unison modest. 2 to 4 voices is usually enough. You do not want a massive super saw cloud here. That's not the vibe. We want something restrained, unstable, and atmospheric. Set the filter low pass and keep it fairly dark to start with. The exact cutoff will depend on the patch, but somewhere in the low mid to mid range is a good starting point. Then give the amp envelope a slightly soft attack, maybe a few hundred milliseconds, and a longer release so the sound can bloom and trail off naturally. And here's a really important DNB mindset tip. Keep the low end out of the pad from the beginning. Yes, you can high pass later, but it's better to build the source cleanly in the first place. Your kick and sub need to own the weight. If your pad is hanging out in the same space, the whole mix starts feeling flat and the bass loses its authority. If you want a little more grit, you can add a saturator after the instrument and use it lightly. Just a small amount of drive is enough to bring some harmonics forward. Don't overcook it. We're not trying to distort the life out of the pad. We just want it to feel a bit more present. Now let's write the harmony. And this is where a lot of producers overcomplicate things. For this style, you do not need a big emotional chord sequence with loads of extensions and movement. Keep it sparse. Keep it moody. Think more like a harmonic suggestion than a full song chord. Make a simple 2-bar MIDI clip and use just 2 or 3 notes per chord. Root, minor 3rd, and 7th is a classic place to start. Root and 5th with a minor 7 can also work really well. You can try something like D minor to B flat major 7, or F minor to E flat major 7. Or you can hold one chord and just shift a top note slightly for tension. That last one is especially nice for old school jungle vibes. A lot of the emotion in that style comes from atmosphere and arrangement, not from harmonic complexity. So don't feel like you need a full chord journey. Let the movement come from automation. Now we get into the core of the Nitvis method. Choose a few parameters that will become your movement targets. The main ones I'd focus on are filter cutoff, resonance, waveeatable position or another timbral control, reverb amount, and stereo width. In Ableton Live 12, you can draw automation right in arrangement view, and that's where this method really starts to sing. Don't worry about making tiny perfect curves at first. Just create broad gestures. Open the filter gradually across the phrase. Push the reverb up at the end of a section. Narrow the width before the drop so the impact feels bigger when everything opens back out. A good starting range for the filter might be somewhere between a few hundred hertz and around 1 or 2 kilohertz, depending on how dark you want it. Reverb can live fairly low most of the time and then rise for transitions. Width can move between narrow and wide, but be careful not to make it huge all the time. Constant width kills contrast. If possible, put an auto filter after the synth rather than relying only on the synth's internal filter. That gives you a really clean automation lane and makes the movement easy to control. Now build a practical effects chain. A good stock chain would be auto filter, then something subtle like chorus ensemble or phaser flanger, then echo, then reverb, then utility, with saturator optional if you want more bite. Keep the chorus or phaser extremely subtle. This isn't about obvious wobble. It's just enough to make the pad feel a little more unstable and alive. For echo, use a sync delay with controlled feedback and filter the repeats, so they don't clutter the mix. For reverb, use a medium or longer decay, but keep the low cut on so it doesn't fill up the low mids. Again, the goal is atmosphere without mud. A really good workflow move in DNB is to put reverb and echo on return tracks instead of directly on the pad. That way, you can control the dry sound more cleanly and automate the send levels when you need a section to bloom. It keeps the punch intact and makes your arrangement easier to manage. If the pad feels too soft and you want a little more density, you can use drum buss very lightly. That might sound odd on a pad, but it can be useful. Just keep the drive low and the boom off. You're after harmonics, not fake low end. Now here's where the magic really happens, resampling. Once your pad loop has movement, print it to audio. Create a new audio track. Set the input to resampling and record a few bars of the moving pad. This is huge because now you've captured not just the sound, but the performance of your automation. Once it's printed, chop it up. Use the tail of a phrase for a transition. Reverse a section for a lead-in. Grab one bar pieces and drop them between drum fills. You can even slice the audio into a drum rack if you want more playable variation. In jungle and old school DNB, this is especially powerful because printed atmospheres can sit in the arrangement like found sound. They don't have to stay as a perfect loop. They can become texture, impact, or transition material. And honestly, resampling also forces decisions, which is very useful in this genre. If it sounds good printed, commit and move on. Now let's think about how the pad interacts with the drums. This is crucial. A DNB pad should not just float above the track. It should be programmed against the drum grid. At 170 BPM, section changes happen fast, and the pad should help reinforce that structure. For example, you might keep the pad filtered and narrow for the first 8 bars, then open the cutoff and bring in a little more reverb over the next 8. Then maybe drop it out or turn it into a reverse texture for the next phrase. Then bring it back wider before the drop. That little bit of arrangement logic makes the tune feel intentional. It also helps with TJ functionality. The intro needs to mix, the breakdown needs a clear mood, and the drop needs contrast. If the pad is doing the same thing all the time, it stops helping. One of my favorite tricks is to use tiny automation bumps before key moments. Open the filter just before a fill. Push the reverb send on the last beat of a phrase. Narrow the stereo width right before the drop so the drop feels bigger by comparison. That kind of micro motion is what makes the track feel alive. Now let's lock in the bass relationship. This is where a lot of intermediate producers get stuck, because the pad starts fighting the bass line. So on the pad channel, use EQ8 and high pass it. Often somewhere around 150 to 300 Hz is fine, but in denser arrangements you may need to go even higher. If there's harshness in the upper mids, tame that too. A pad that sounds huge on its own can be absolutely deadly in a mix, if you don't keep the low mids under control. Always mono check the pad as well. Use utility, test it in mono, and make sure the important character still survives. Your sub should stay centered and clean, while the pad lives in the mood zone. That separation is a big part of what makes DNB feel heavy. If your bass is a Reese, you might need to carve a small area in the pad around the main bass character so the two can coexist. You don't want them fighting for the same emotional space. Now for a really useful creative trick, use the pad like a conversation partner. Instead of adding more notes, automate the pad to answer the drums and bass. Maybe it opens slightly after a snare fill. Maybe it ducks for a split second on the first kick of the loop. Maybe the reverb swells only in the last half bar before a switch. Maybe the pad disappears for a beat so the bass stab hits harder. That call and response relationship is gold in rollers, jungle, and dark DNB. You can do it with track automation, clip envelopes, or a light sidechain compressor. If you use sidechain, keep it subtle, fast attack, moderate release, and just enough movement to let the groove breathe. Now let's talk versioning, because this is where the workflow-first mindset really pays off. Make a few quick pad variations. One version can be darker and narrower for the intro. Another can be wider and more open for the breakdown. Another can be a reversed audio print for transitions. Duplicate the track, rename it clearly, and keep it organized. You might have track names like PAD Intro, PAD Break, PAD Reverse, and PAD Print. That kind of organization sounds boring, but it saves a ton of time later. And the best part is, you can make decisions fast. If the pad clashes with the drop, delete it or filter it harder. If the transition feels weak, print a tail and reverse it. If the intro feels too empty, let the texture breathe more. That's the real power of the Nightbus method. It's not just about making a pad. It's about making a pad that helps you finish tracks. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the pad too bright. DNB atmosphere usually works better when it's darker and more restrained. Second, don't let the pad own the low mids. That space gets messy fast, especially with a heavy sub or Reese bass. Third, don't go huge on width too early. Keep some contrast and reserve so the drop feels bigger. Fourth, don't overcomplicate the chords. Two or three notes is often enough. And fifth, Don't ignore resampling. Printed audio often works better in DNB than the raw synth patch, because it turns movement into arrangement material. If you want to push this further, try a few pro-level variations. Alternate between a closed pad state and an open pad state every 4 or 8 bars. Move just one note in the voicing for a slightly unstable feel. Add a quiet noise bit under the pad for extra texture. Print a reversed reverb tail and use it as a lead-in. Or reverse only one layer if you're layering multiple pad sounds, so the movement stays unpredictable without losing the harmony. And if you want a super practical challenge, do this.